This is Arsene Wenger. Welcome to FIFA Training Center.
You're listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Training Center podcast. Throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar, we are taking you inside the game like never before. This fly-on-the-wall audio experience puts you inside the car with our team of experts as they travel to all 64 matches at the FIFA World Cup. The final whistle has blown in the game between Korea Republic and Portugal. You're now entering the minds of some of the world's finest football brains.
Okay, so we're just leaving Education City, where the Korea Republic have beaten Portugal by 2-1 in Group H. The result means that Korea Republic have progressed to the knockout stages, and Duri Cha is with us, Jurgen Klinsmann, Pascal Zuberbühler, and our performance analyst is Elliot Stonnell. Duri, we'll start with you, for obvious reasons, your first reactions to how that game panned out.
I'm so happy. What a day for the Korean football after the World Cup in South Africa. We again go through to the next round, and yeah, what a game. I mean, Portugal is one of the top countries in football in the world, and we beat them, and I think we play well. We're working together hard and good team spirit, fighting spirit, and yeah, I'm so happy that the Korean football goes through for the next round.
What impressed you most about this performance?
In the first half, we stand in the mid-block with a 4-1-4-1 defensive line. We had huge problem with the long balls behind the last line and the diagonal balls. The second half, they change. They come from the mid-block to the low block and let them come. Open the space behind from the Portugal last line and waiting for the right moment for the counter-attack. And yeah, in the last minute, we had a great counter. Son make a great pass to Hwang Hee-chan, and Hee-chan scored the goal, and everything was good.
Jurgen, we talked a lot at halftime about the role of the Portuguese fullbacks and the impact that they were having, particularly in terms of Dallo and Cancelo, how high they were getting against that mid-block, and the impact that they were making, and also the relationship between the fullbacks and the two wingers. Can you just talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was really, really interesting to see how Portugal shaped up. Even, obviously, we have to say that they brought in a lot of players, you know, from their second group. Thankfully, you know, Ronaldo was on the field, Cancelo was on the field. So just a couple of key players, but they brought a lot of fresh players on because they were already qualified for the next round. But it was super interesting to see for us coaches how they shaped up the fullbacks. They put them extremely wide in their back four, extremely also forward-minded. And when you follow the first goal, I mean, the 1-0 from Portugal, it's a long ball from Pepe, basically into his right back, Dalot, and he then goes one against one, which we rarely saw in this tournament, that actually the fullbacks go into one against one challenges. He wins that one against one battle and puts it back then for the opening goal. It was a beautiful sequence of passing and playing through. We saw a few more of those opening passes from the center backs, or even from the fullbacks, if it's Cancelo or Dalot, that they kind of switched over to the other side, because South Korea tried to stay very compact in the center with their, as Duri said rightfully, with their 4-1-4-1 formation. So they didn't really cope too much or deal too much with the width of the field then. And yeah, that's how they created their chances. Korea really showed a lot of character, a lot of fighting spirit. They fought themselves back into the game, equalized it, and then they were waiting patiently for a counter break, which came then in the very end of the game. And I'm extremely pleased, obviously, for Son, because he's had some issues to get into this tournament. He comes back from a facial injury, and you can see he's not the same yet. But then he came out big. He did a run over 60, 70 yards and put the ball into his forward. And at the right time, it was almost offside, and gave Korea Republic this wonderful win that takes them into round of 16. And we are happy for them.
And obviously, when we talked at halftime, like you said, the width coming from Dallow and Cancelo, the fullbacks given that width. But there was also that rotation with both João Mario and Ricardo Horta, the goal scorer, where they sometimes kept the width and the fullbacks then were able to come inside and occupy that space. Ideally, what they were trying to achieve was locking in the Korean fullbacks and creating the 2v1 in the wide area.
That's correct. And the other thing also, when you send Cancelo or Dalot higher up the field, and you have on the other side with Son, one of the best strikers in the world, you make Korea think about how to solve this issue, because obviously you don't want Son to go back and defend too much, because you need him up front, you need his energy going forward. So Son often was caught in that situation, but because he's such a good character, he ran backwards, he helped out defensively, and then eventually loses a lot of energy. So that was the plan behind that as well. But it's interesting to see how they basically, once the fullbacks moved up front, that that midfielders then went wide and covered that area. And they have a very, very good understanding that in that tactical kind of shift. And it worked out for most part of the game. But then Korea found a way to hit them really at the end of the game and win this match.
And Duri, you were really impressed with that shift from the mid-block from Korea to a lower block in the second half to kill that space in behind. What was it about that change that you think really affected the game?
In the first half, we could see that Portugal tried with the long diagonal balls or with the long ball behind the last line to create the chances. And the first goal, they scored like this, long ball from Pep behind Jinsu. Came for the left back from Korea, so it was always dangerous in the duel, and in the second half they want to be close to space behind the last line and let them come with the fullback, with the wingers, and open the space behind the line from Portugal. And I think this may be the strength. We have quick players. We have with Son, with Hee-chan, with Cho Kyu-sung. We have players who are very good in the counter-attack moment. And yeah, we use our strengths in the second half very well and created one goal and winning the game.
And just come to you, Elliot, just in relation to how did that look like, that Portuguese approach in the first half, and the impact that Antonio Silva and Pepe, the two centre-backs, were having in terms of their distributions and also the way that the fullbacks were receiving the ball?
Yeah, just quickly touching on one of Dury's point about the mid block for Korea and the low block. In the first half, Korea's mid block was at 39%, which is 13% more than their tournament average. We saw a shift in the second half down to 29%, and the low block increased from 21% in the first half to 29% in the second half. So that really hammers home that own point that Dury just made there. In terms of Portugal's fullbacks, who were quite influential in the game, Dallow and Cancelo. So Dallow had 51 receptions and Cancelo 81. Cancelo received the ball between the defensive and midfield line 16 times and Dallow 12 times, which is quite high for a defensive pairing. And in terms of attacking strategy for Portugal, they had 23 final third entries down the left-hand side, which was the side that Cancelo operated on.
Just in relation to that equaliser, which obviously was a crucial goal, it came from a corner, and there was a bit of debate amongst you about the Portugal setup and the zonal defensive setup for this corner. First of all, Jurgen, from your point of view, what's your preference on these types of setups, zonal versus marking, man marking, or even a hybrid approach?
Well, it's an ongoing discussion that all the coaches have. You have coaches that favor the zonal one, the zonal marking. You know, they are confident enough that they attack the ball when the ball comes in and they have their focus on the ball, but they also see the opponents running into them. Then you do a mixed of zonal and man-to-man marking. It's very popular as well. It is interesting what Zubi will tell us about the goalkeeper approach, because years ago we still had two men covering the posts. You know, first post, second post, which I think is still a very good option to use, because, I mean, we see so many header goals and our goals that go right in the corner where the goalkeeper has no chance to reach them. So if you have somebody right there on the post, he kicks the ball out or heads it out and you avoid a goal. I'm personally a fan from the man against man marking because it keeps you focused. It keeps you sharp. I mean, you know, I got to kind of go after this guy, and at the same time I have to look exactly where the ball will drop. So it keeps you in a more alert state. When you're zonal, you tend to switch off here and there because you think, okay, I'm right there in the zone, I'm looking good, you know, but then you don't know which man will run against you from behind or from the outside of the box, and when to attack then the ball. So this is a debate that goes is non-stop with us
but
coaches.
Isn't that exactly what happened for this goal? Because the ball comes into that area just between the six-yard box and the penalty spot where there's nobody picking anybody up. The ball drops, it hits off Ronaldo in the back, and then Kim Hyung-won, he's able to get on the ball. Nobody's picking him up. He gets past Pepe, and there's nobody taking that responsibility. Zubi, from a goalkeeping point of view, what would your opinion on all of this be?
Yeah, good, this is a great discussion to defend, especially set plays and especially now corner kicks. I'm totally agree with Jürgen. I'm also the one who likes more when a player have to mark his another player, because this, then you are much more focused mental-wise. Yeah, I don't like the situation, a corner for the opponent, and my team is coming and stay around the 6 yard and waiting until the ball is coming in. This is something very easy, and you have the full team inside your box. Yeah, it gives me already a sign for the opponent, hey, come on, they are waiting for us that we can fly in. And in this situation, in this corner now, we had on the first post Dalot and Neves, who goes on this corner for the first post. And there was the number 9 from Korea with Chisho. He was flying in. He didn't even touch the ball, but then behind, as you mentioned before, Lisa, the ball goes to Ronaldo's back and no one else is around, and they could take the rebound and score the 1-1. Those situations, it's for me not active. Yeah, okay, this is my personal opinion. I don't like to be so passive and wait and stay around my goal and wait when the ball is coming in. You take it or I'm taking. This is something what I don't like so much. But I would also like to bring this up. In this situation, to defend corners, I like anyway if the goalkeeper coach takes his responsibility. Jürgen, I don't know how you handle this when you are a head coach, because the goalkeeper coach and the goalkeepers, they are training this day in, day out. And for me, it should be also a topic for the goalkeeper coach, hey, to study the opponent, how they are good, what they are the strength. And me as a goalkeeper coach, I know anyway the strength for my goalkeeper. And like this, I set up also my players around. This is something where we could talk maybe one more hour, I think, no?
So we're then in a situation where you're waiting and mentality, you know, already the lads on the pitch could probably, they knew that Uruguay were 2-0 up in their game against Ghana, and the mentality, I guess, shone through, Dury.
Yeah, I think it was not easy situation for the Korean team. They need one more goal, was clear, but if they concede one goal, then it's finished. And you have to need the control, the balance between defense and the offense. And I think they make it very good in the second half. They have more, give the point in the defense walk, and waiting for the right moment for the counterattack with Son, with Hee-chan in the second half. And I mean, you need a strong mental. You have to walk in the defense. Son walking a lot in the defense. He came back.
But you can control a game without the ball as well as with the ball. And that's what they did in the second half.
I think many teams show in this World Cup that you can control the game without the ball, and you can win the game in this way, like this. So in the first half, we tried to play with the ball, with position and in higher block. And in the second half, we give them the ball, we give Portugal the ball, let them come with a lot of players and bring in our final third and open the space behind them. So, it was a great performance from the Korean team, not only tactically, also mentally.
So yes, indeed, a 2-1 win for the Korea Republic over Portugal. In the other game, it finished Uruguay 2-0 Ghana. So it is Portugal and Korea Republic who progress And now we're on our way to Stadium 974 for the Group G clash between Serbia and Switzerland, which promises to be another cracker.
You've been listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Highway 61 production for FIFA Training Center. For more information and insights throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup, visit fifatrainingcenter.com.